It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
We are back again. Yes, it's Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. As notice, I didn't add anything.
He to didn't it, add any other anyway. Names. He's okay. On a roll. How you doing, Tommy? Everything good?
Everything's great. Carl's in the studio, and we have a special guest. Maybe you want to introduce our special guest.
I'm going to introduce a local legend, one of my oldest friends. I've known him since I was 13 years old. We've had a, I don't want to say how old I am, and that'll put out how Jack is.
Yeah, leave that alone.
We'll leave that totally alone. My good friend, former seven-year major leaguer, Jack Cusick. We wanted to bring in an expert on the game yesterday and today. Talk about his career and let these kids see that it can be done from our neck of the woods. I think outside of the kids that are up there now, Jack had the longest career of any guys outside, I think, Dave Dravec. Maybe the same as Dave Dravec in the area, but pitched against legends, played with legends. We're going to get some good laughs because Lord knows Jack's always a good time. So that's what we wanted to make him our first official guest here because, like I said, he's been a godsend to me with my business and everything else since I was 13 years old. I've known him and we've kept in touch over the years, the many different facets of what I do. And like I said, always been a supporter, always been a dear friend. So welcome, Mr. Jack.
Yes, Jack.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jimmy. We go back a long way. I mean, you've had my sons in baseball and everything else, and it's just been a pleasure doing, working with you. And what a great facility you have, man. I'll tell you, I love it.
Thank you, guys. You know how I get. I get all, contrary to popular belief when you guys tell me that it.
Well, you're the busiest place I know, man.
I got you. Thank you for that one, Jack.
You were just bragging about it at lunch, but go ahead.
Tommy, come on now. Maybe at home.
Okay,
I'll do it in public where the
people can hear. He'll edit that out. That's fine.
There you go. Awesome. So, Jackie, give us a little bit about your history, because like I said, you're a Trumbull County legend, multi-sport athlete. We want these kids to understand, what it used to be like, and we're going to talk a little bit about comparisons yesterday and today.
Well, I grew up in Newton Falls, Ohio, and it was kind of ironic that, at age 12, there was no place to play baseball. It was my mother who started Pony and Colt League in Newton Falls.
Wow.
How about that one? Not a lot of people know that. There you go.
Yeah, and her only goal was that hopefully one person from Newton Falls could make it to the major leagues, because my grandfather, believe it or not, used to keep box scores from the radio. So you can imagine what a great thrill it was for her when her own son was the one that did it. So, it was fun, but I can tell you the difference is I'm still the highest round draft pick in history of this area.
It's true.
It was the 32nd pick in the nation, and I tell people, I got $30,000 for signing and $600 a month.
And that was a lot of loot back then.
Well, that's a lot of money back
then. Jack, what year did you sign? What year did you come out of Miami?
I got drafted by the White Sox in 1971, then again in 1974 out of Miami of Ohio. And I was very fortunate. I just got back from Miami of Ohio. I had to go down there and speak, because they were honoring my former coach. And that was pretty neat, So that was a thrill, to see him, because he basically changed my life. I mean, he was an amazing coach and kept me in line, which was hard to do back then.
You had Bud Middaugh.
Bud Middaugh, a great guy he was.
Went on to coach at Michigan. Had a bunch of major league players. Had a great run at Michigan, Barry Larkin.
Yes, he did. He was amazing. But it was fun, So, and like I say, I had the honor of listening to Dave Trebecki before, we got on here. And it's just amazing how your life turns in different paths. One day and one moment, one person can change your life forever. And, there's been a few people that helped change my life forever. Jimmy, you're one of them. You gave me a place to do things. You helped my kids. And, I think the greatest thing was in 1980, my last year, it's hard to leave the game. And that's when I met my wife now of 45 years and, three wonderful kids and just a dream come true. She made the transition into life a lot easier than if I had to leave without having her. So it's been a real pleasure.
And I'm going to give you a little tidbit for the people that are hearing this out there. I was 13 years old. I was at a basketball camp in Westminster. That my junior high and my high school went to, and I was coming back to play in the Pony League All-Stars in Warren. And we were, by Pony League standards, we were pretty good. We had a lot of good athletes. So I'm flying in to get to this practice down in Perkins Park. I come flying in. Here's this guy with clean shaven, longer curly hair. And I walk up, and Al Harris, God bless him, his daughter went to high school with me. He coached down in Warren. Bought it, Doug Stubbs, Tanner Reed. They're all down there, Nod Hines, and we're all in there. And I come walk, tear out of the car, and I get there. And I was catching at the time, and I walk out, and I was pitching. And I'm a little late, and they walk up, and they go, and I'm looking around. I go, who's that? And I said, he don't coach us. And he says, oh, his name's Jack. And I go, what's his last name? He go, Kusick. Well, I had his baseball card. And I'm like, none of the other kids, they just thought he was just some guy that played minor league baseball. And Jack's in the big leagues. And I'm walking up, and I go, how are you, Mr. Kusick? He goes, Mr. Kusick. He goes, son. He goes, you can call me Jack. I said, okay. And my raging memory was he taught back in the Advent when the San Francisco Giants, Bruce Sutter, you know, with the Cardinals, the splitter. Mm-hmm. And Jack showed us all how to throw splitters. He says, no, don't go throw the hell out of this. He said, because you're going to hurt your elbow. And we had a kid named Gary McKimmy, who was a great player, young kid, played Gary at Kennedy for a number of years. He got hurt, but started as a freshman at Kennedy, four-year letter winner. And he took to that pitch, man, and he could already throw, and he threw that thing. And we were getting ready to play an all-star tournament, and we mowed through that tournament. And I remember they had called Jack. Jack had been home for a little bit, and he was back on the road. And we had then, years later, Chuck Whitman, his son had come to play for me with Levy Steele. And who comes out rolling in with Chuck Whitman? Jack Kusick. And we looked at each other, just started laughing, talking. And then a couple years went by, and then Jack was in a career change, and he comes down to visit me down in Warren in the original train station building, and he's looking around, and he goes, Jimmy, I got to find a sidelight here. You know, the company I'm working for is phasing out, and da-da-da-da. And I looked at him, I go, Jack, what are you doing? Do lessons. And he looked at me like a light went, like he never thought of it. And then I said, here's how you run the format. And he just took off, and he's been doing. And for any of you guys ever looking out there, please get a hold of us because Jack's still doing them. He does some up in Canfield. He does some at our place. Does a great job, and I would highly recommend if you've got a young kid starting out or a kid that's trying to extend his career into college. Jack's the guy to call, especially. Hey, we would do pro guys, and I'll never forget this. We used to laugh. We'd get pro guys, and then they'd go, oh, pitch in the big leagues. I would build. We used to kid. I would build a car mechanic. I'd take them, and I'd fix their mechanics. And I'd say, he's Earl Scheib. He's painting a car. Better get Mako. If you had to learn a cutter, a splitter, a curveball, the best progression, best breaking ball teacher I've met at any level of baseball. And we always kid about that. I always tell Jack, I'll build him. You come paint him. He goes, I'll be there. Guy, come. We had a kid, not Matt DeSalvo from PA, but the other DeSalvo from over in West Virginia. Kid got signed by the Rockies. And I'll never forget it. His dad was a scout with the Rockies. He's going, they've been trying to get him to throw a cutter, and he just can't do it. I go, hold on. I called Jack about 20 minutes. He flies in from camp. He drives in from Canfield, gets on the mound. He goes, whispers in the kid's ear. He throws it once. Says, okay, do this. Throws it twice. Third time, bang, 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 bang. And his dad looked at me. He goes, four different pitching coaches. Can't teach him how to cutter. Your guy showed him in 15 minutes. That's Jack, people. That's Jack when it comes to teaching. But the stories of professional baseball he's going to give us, that you'll hear some of the most hysterical stuff you've ever heard.
it was funny, Jimmy, because I went down to Miami. The first thing I started out with was when I got to the big leagues, Johnny Sane came up to me and he says, Jack, did you do a lot of running in college? I said, Johnny, I felt like a racehorse. That's all we ever did. He goes, when you get back to Miami of Ohio and you talk to your baseball coach, tell him one thing from me. I never seen a pitcher yet run the ball across home plate.
Yep.
So I said, Johnny, we're going to get along fine.
And he was the best back then. I remember I've always been lucky, and I told Tommy a bit. You know, some of the people don't realize in Jack's career, you know, he's around a lot of really, really Chuck Tanner. Johnny Sane was the first real legendary pitching coach.
Like Bob Lemon, Stan Williams, you know, Dallas Green. I mean, man, back then they didn't keep a lot of managers around a long time.
Who? And then GMs.
Oh, Roland Heeman.
Legend. Yeah. The guy that got John Hart to start with the Indians. He was with the Orioles all those years.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Roland Heeman was one of the best I've ever been associated with. He was just a great guy. I mean, just tremendous. I mean,
how long ago did he pass away, Jack?
Oh, it's been a few years. It's
about
five or six years.
Yeah,
he was just great.
But Mike Hargrove, that whole Indians, the whole Indians run in the early 90s to out to 2000s, Roland Heeman was kind of the backdoor, backside engineer of that because he had gotten Hart in there. You know, there's a lot of different people.
Well, you know, Roland Heeman and, well, of course, Bill Veeck, the greatest owner in baseball history.
Yep, there you go.
And his son was even crazier.
Yeah.
Mike Veeck.
Yeah.
Well, I remember a few stories about Mike, but we can't get into that.
I don't think we can do this on TV or radio.
No, but and it was fun. But
and,
yeah.
the fun thing for Jack that we'll talk about is, you know, we pound on this concept of environment. So Jack comes through Newton Falls. He gets drafted. Sikora comes after you.
And then
Marcheski comes after you. And then there was a number of guys that followed Jack because they kind of wanted to be Jack. Lee Marcheski pitched, I think he got up to Triple-A. That was Tommy. That was more Tommy than me. He was unbelievable. But there was a multitude back then of athletes that came through Newton Falls. The guy you were doing pitching lessons for his grandson a little bit ago, quarterback, went to Bowling Green.
Reed Lamport,
legend, yeah. Legend. Oh. I think they won five or six. Yep, and then he went. They were playing professional flag football back in the early 70s, late 80s.
There was Gerald Lenarsic.
Yep, and then the later Hara. That's Tommy's guy.
Doug Hara.
Yeah.
Just in the multitude, you go through these people, and generationally, I mean, there was a 10 or 12 year run where Newton Falls still pretty good in basketball, up and down in football, baseball, same little up and down. But back then, it was Newton Falls and Champion banging heads.
Newton
Falls put out guys, and I remember being a junior at Champion, and they had, like, full beards. I mean, Newton Falls was a team. You go up there, you may never get seen again. That Newton Falls, that's always made jokes about. That's the last place you want to drink and drive is around Newton Falls. But
yeah.
I remember some of the best teams that I played against were Newton Falls teams. And I'm sure you know, Widow, there was so many guys that when I was pitching through that lineup, that was a rough lineup to get through. And I don't know where their sports are today, but I don't know. Did nobody go out for football this year for Newton Falls?
That's a tough one.
For 3 years of football, we were 26-4.
You were the golden age of Newton Falls.
Yeah, we were. I mean, it was really great.
Because you played everything.
Well, I just remember when I tried out, I was 15 years old and tried out for the Warren AA League. You know, guys were 27, 28, 29 years old.
Yep.
There was a guy, Denny Jewell. So they wanted me to pitch. They wanted to see what I can do. And Denny Jewell was the catcher. And he goes, "We'd love you to be on our team, but we got nobody can catch you." I says, "How about my high school catcher?" They go, "You got a high school catcher who can catch you?" I go, "Yeah." I go, "And he's 16 and he can drive." So they said, "Tommy's on the team."
How funny is that?
Yep.
So, you know, that
Double A league, man, my dad used to bring me down there. That was a major deal.
Do you remember Calvin Mason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Calvin Mason's one of the fastest guys you've ever seen. I'll never forget this. Yeah, I couldn't hold runners on. I didn't know what, you know, because in high school, nobody ever got on. So I just never really threw from a stretch. Well, I walked him. He's on first. He goes to steal him. I throw a fastball. Ronnie gets up, fires it down. The ball's there 10 feet before he even gets there. He stops. He goes, "Who the hell are these young kids, man?"
Yep.
It was great.
And that was kind of the advent if you could really play. It used to be you had to be, if you were 15 or 16, you went to AA because there wasn't, B League wasn't a thing in our neck of the woods.
There wasn't.
And they would go and you would maybe get on a roster, you'd get on a roster and they'd, you know.
Al Litz was one of the few kids that they took right away.
Yep.
Al Litz was one of the very few.
And he signed. He signed with Detroit.
Yeah, he and was down Caffey, there 19 years old or 18
was,
years old.
It was just different back then. It was a lot of fun, man.
And there's the next question for you, Jack, because obviously you've seen my facility.
Oh,
been around Canfield Sports. You've been around a little bit of Poland Sports. You've been around a lot of the Mahoning County endeavors up there. You know, we've talked about it. Tommy and I are always pounding on it about what do you see different as opposed to because. I mean, you guys were out in the yard. You know what I mean? You guys are out in the yard. You're playing basketball, playing football. What do you see different today? Parents, kids?
Well, let's
talk about that.
Quite honestly.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show, but go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it's right in our hands right here, cell phones.
Yep.
I mean, that's the number one thing. Kids just don't go out. I mean, we used to go out and get the neighborhood would get lawnmowers and go find a field and cut the grass so we had a place to play baseball. We go, yeah. Well, the statute of limitations is over, so we go to the boxcars and rip off the plywood and make a backstop. You know, now kids, hey, they
home run derby. We
were, oh my God.
We would do and we would get like 9, 10 kids cut off a baseball bat and then use a wiffle ball. And you can only hit it so far. We had a fence there. We'd make up all these different games and play them. I tell you what, I don't hear a soul outside at night. Mm-hmm. I was either hearing ollie, ollie, in free, hide and go see. At nighttime, all through the night, you would hear kids running around doing something.
Bring back memories now, man.
Oh. We were always got up in the morning. There was no sleeping around. Our TV never came on during the day.
We weren't on
unless
the
I
day.
Was sick. From school, then I would sit there. My mom would put on Price is Right or whatever the few channels that we did get, you know, while you're sick. And that was it. But there's no getting up in the morning unless it was Saturday.
Nope.
And just hanging around. You're out. Get that bed made and you're outside. And when you heard the whistle, it was starting to get in the dark, you better get home.
Kids
that was
just,
it.
You know, what I found, honestly, I think the biggest difference, and that's why I think, Jimmy, you're so busy because you spend time with the kids teaching and making sure they do things right. Nowadays, I think a lot has to do with coaching. I really do. I mean, you know, right now everybody's got to play. The coaches mm-hmm. want to try to keep the parents happy, and it's just...
And you force, Jackie, we've talked about it, and Tommy and I, Tommy's always talking about, is you have baseball people or basketball people or football people, and, you know, the minute we always kid... The minute you let somebody in the AD's office that they can fire at the AD, now the AD, it's going to flow downhill to the coach. The minute these parents start, they're riding gray coaches out of existence.
Yes.
You know, you go, and I don't know what the whole MO was. The guy at Howland, the soccer coach at Howland, he wins the state championship, I think, twice. Was runner-up once, or he won one and runner-up or two, and then was a runner-up in the region. He left. And, I mean, with all due respect, that's the winningest program in the history of Howland. This guy leaves, and I had run into him, and I go, what was your reasoning? He goes, the environment. He goes, I couldn't.
You can tell that
story. I couldn't keep on.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep on doing what I'm doing. And you see it, you know, that they were just all over the place, and they're winning. You know, and then you get people from the losing aspect, it's the same or worse. Well, and they run good baseball people out of...
As soon as they seem to get to high school, everything changes. Howland champion, all these teams have these great youth kids are good. They're kicking everybody's butt. And then something happens. It filters into some go play soccer, some quit everything. And pretty soon the high school programs are no good.
Well, they don't want... I mean, I can tell you, I played football, basketball, and baseball. They want kids to specialize in one sport. I think one sport helps you for the next one. It's just absolutely amazing to me that, you know, we got to specialize. No. You don't know which one you're going to be good at. You don't know which one is going to...
Right.
Every one will help you for the next one. It's just... The thing that baffles me, though, Jimmy, is, you know, I've been very fortunate in my life. I've had a lot of great coaches. I actually did a video with Roger Clemens.
Remember that when you had the strips?
Yeah, all that stuff. You would think, you know, you work with Roger Clemens, you had Johnny Sain, Chuck Tanner, Bob Lemon, Stan, you know, all these great coaches. You think one high school, even my hometown of Newton Falls or Canfield where I live now or any, would ask you to come look at their high school pictures?
Ah!
Not one school has ever called me.
Now, being that I played with Darren Chapin, another actually got to the major leagues, pitched right in front of me at Cleveland Stadium. He's done. He went down because he has to get the offer to champion. No, that's okay. No, thanks. Yeah. Now, that's only because they want to do it their way, and they don't want you horning in on what, and they don't care about what nothing. About it's not about winning. It's about these kids want to, these kids
helping
are going to play. Yeah.
I mean, my baseball coach in Newton Falls brought in anybody I wanted, anybody he can think of to help me learn something about pitching. You know, I mean, Bob Forrest, one of the greatest, you know, I mean, made you love the game. Andy Pike, greatest football coach in the world. He was all about the kids. Nowadays, it's, you know, I don't want anybody's job, you know. I just like to help kids.
Yeah, they don't want your horn in.
When you know, so, and you can say, there's a lot of times when you know, I ran into a lot of it. Jack always used to kind of look at me and go, you know, I didn't play professionally. I played in college, and I had kind of a mind for the game. And I was, in some people's estimate, a pretty good teacher. And I grew up with Jimmy. Why should I take my kid to him? Well, because, you know, he's gotten 60 kids drafted and six kids. But I played with him. He was an okay player. What you are as a player and what you are as a coach, two different things.
Two different things.
And the thing about it is that why would you ever block a kid from the ability of getting information to get better? And I've always, you know, you may not like the way I do it or Tom does it or Jack does it, but you can find somebody that's going to be helpful to him. But like that with high schools, I'm with you. I get amazed. Very rarely, the staff that I see that's kind of loaded out with good baseball people that I know, and no offense against other schools, the one is Kennedy with Jimmy Chimbotti and, you know, and Carmen DeCristofaro. They've got some dudes that can really coach. Harding tries to do with what they can do with you know, they're trying to bring it back in the city. Baseball is a primary. You know, it fell off down at the parks a lot. But, you know, if you've got the year at Canfield when they went to state, they were smart enough to have you, two of the most legendary coaches. The guy that I sit in, and he passed away, God bless him, up there in heaven, Sheeny Kravonik. Sheeny Kravonik could coach a corpse how to play baseball.
Well, you know, the
unbelievable. Winning. And you, Sheeny, and the guy that
Dick
was Duffett. Dick Duffett was smart enough. I'm not the guy. And he went and got a staff that was all guys, and you guys ran it up, the table.
You know who was the winning pitcher on the only Canfield State championship team?
Your son.
My son, Jake.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's some of these things just make you wonder, you know.
And that's the thing is, though, maybe we can go back to the old and get some room for improvement. I know Tommy's always come up with great ideas about, hey, why you ever look at it like this, look at it like that? And I'm always like, you know what, Tom, that's a pretty good idea. And I started writing them down because he'd give me so many, they were, I'd forget. And he goes, remember when I said that? Oh, man, I forgot to write that down. You know, and maybe we try and get back to that. But I know Tom has said it to me, you've said it to me. All I did was recreate what Tanner Reed, what Nod Hines, all those guys, Bob Fungi, Dan Alesia Sr., Jack Lubert Sr., all those guys gave me an opportunity, and we were in I've created a sandlot. You know, you hear about Willie McCovey and all those guys in Oakland growing up. You know, Bonds' dad, Joe Morgan, and they had a parks director, and he was a baseball guy, and Jimmy Rollins, I'll tell you, that's where it was. And you don't see that. I don't know there's any community around here that has a parks director that directs the sports.
I don't know. It's just
no, there. Yeah, I can guarantee you that's not happening.
That's too bad because there should be.
Yeah, but Jimmy, that's why your place is always packed.
And you know what? Always packed because a lot of these teams that I umpired, which was always a big joke since I was always known for being rough on umpires. So once I showed up, I had to wear glasses and a fake nose and a mustache. But I noticed that there's six coaches on every team, and they don't know anything about baseball.
The one thing I always say is, you know, and nothing against you hitting coaches, but, you know, you can teach a kid how to hit, and if you teach him wrong, what's he do? He makes outs. But if you give a kid pitching lessons and he pitches wrong, he has surgery. And right. That's the thing I see most things when I work with kids that had somebody else. They go, who showed you that? That's wrong.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing that gets me. But you guys do a great job teaching hitting.
Well, teaching health and everything else.
But well, yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. Darren, he said, Tom, you believe it or not, they'd give us the simplest drills.
You're the most fundamental.
They give me something like throwing it like against a pillow over and over and over. And you think that the big leagues are going to come up with some of all these newfangled things. He goes, it's the same. It's the same thing all the time. There are
like
no
this.
Arnold Palmer swings in baseball, right. And there's no weird way of doing it on the mound. Some will get away with it for a while, but you're not going to get away with it long.
Kid will say, can you show me? I says, how's your arm? He goes, what do you mean? I says, it looks like it's hurting. How'd you know? I go, I looked at your shoe. He goes, what do you mean you looked at my shoe? Your shoe's not torn up. You know, that foot's got to be on the ground before the foot comes off the ground. If it's not, you're going to hurt your shoulder or your elbow.
Exactly.
The kid goes, really? How'd you know? I said, well, I looked at your shoe. He goes, really?
Ladies and gentlemen, real quick, I have to go be a dad. I have to go. My son's got a special event at school. I have to leave the show a couple minutes early. I'm going to leave you in the great care of Carl and these two guys because they can give you more entertainment than I ever could. But I want to tell Jack, thank you for coming.
Jimmy, anytime.
I love you. You're my dear friend. Tommy, my partner in crime.
I'll be talking to you in a little bit.
Thank you very much for everybody listening. Sorry, I have to cut it short, but they're going to finish it out. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll be sure to talk to you next week. Thank you. You guys go.
Good luck.
Yeah, finally I can start talking. Jeez, oh man, thanks, Jimmy. But you know what? I wanted to tell you about that because that is true. I have been throwing the same way for years, okay? Straight over the top. My stride was to the left, not straight. So I was throwing across my body, and this scout from Vingel came up to me and said, son, because he was trying me out. He wanted to see what we were all down. He had a number and I'm down double A. They had a few guys they picked. I was one. Son, you're never going to survive throwing like that. He goes, that is too much strain on your arm. You have to. And then what he was showing me, I had been doing so wrong so long.
Exactly.
That when I was trying to do it right, I couldn't do it. It didn't feel right. I was walking a bunch of people. It just, so you go right back to what you know and what you've been doing that was working.
But that's one of the easiest things I found to fix, by the way. Stepping across your body. Just draw a line to the left, hit that line, and you end up in the middle.
Well, I would open up. My foot would go to the left too far. So I compensated by throwing. So here's what happened. And it did. He told me it would. I got a ground ball at shortstop. A heavier kid was running, so I was kind of a hot dog. I was going to let him run for a little bit and then throw it
up. Been there. Yep, been there.
And the next thing you know, I'm up off the ground. Like, the pain. Here, I had thrown like that. Bursitis moved in, and my bone got caught on that throw, and the pain was unbearable. So I went down and they said, we're going to have to file that down. I said, oh, I'm not going through all that. They were going to have to do that and wear one of those.
Yep,
and
there.
So for the longest time, your mind doesn't, your body has self-defense of that. So it was always in the back of my mind. So I start throwing like underhand. I wouldn't even try it.
Yeah,
and so I wouldn't do it till one day. The bases were loaded, and they hit me a ground ball in third, and I had to hurry up, and I threw it, and it didn't hurt. But the clicking and clocking and but, you know, I worked through it, ended up getting my arm back, but not the same as it was.
It tears you up. Like I say, you know, you can hit wrong and make outs. Throw wrong, your career ends.
And think about all those, you know, you start thinking about pitchers, even back 70s, 80s, whatever, because I was a big fan since I knew everybody's name, everybody's address. Whatever happened to that guy? Like, you'll think that pitcher was really good. And then you look now, arm surgery.
I had that. I beat
Zamaya. That guy was throwing 103 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He didn't last, 3 years?
Well, here's the thing. I beat Seattle 2-1 in a 9-inning game. And threw 168 pitches.
Oh my God! Let me ask you this: why in the world can't a reliever throw? What is wrong with it? You can't pitch two innings and then two. What am I missing there?
Well, because they don't. You know, people, it's like this: you don't just start out running a marathon, and you just can't. You know, pitchers got to throw. I remember Johnny Sain says, we're not going to run every day, but we're going to throw every day.
Yeah.
You got to build up arm strength. You know, it's kind of neat because, you know, I get probably 4 or 5 letters every, you know, every other day to sign and all that. People send you all this information and stuff. I'm the second pitcher in the history of the game to record with a radar gun behind home plate. Back then, Nolan Ryan was the first. He was the starter. I was on the road. They clocked us 10 feet from home plate. Now they clock it out of the hand. So a guy's throwing 100 miles an hour out of the hand, he's throwing about 92, 93 at the plate. Nolan Ryan threw the fastest pitch in baseball in the 9th inning against B.B. Richards. Huh. It was 100.9 miles an hour. When they do the math out of the hand, it was 109 miles an hour.
Wow.
So,
How about that? Now, yep. See, that's something I doubt if anybody knew. Nope. Because they used to talk about so-and-so. Oh, he threw in the low 90s back in the 70s. And they act like they're throwing so much harder today. But if that's the case, that's why.
That's exactly
Jack,
what
I'm getting the hammer. When Carl's done, boy, he doesn't make it. He's not shy about it. That middle finger just comes up when it's time to go. What a great thank you for coming.
Oh, you kidding me? Jimmy calls. I'm always
so
there, man.
So interested in it. I could sit and listen. Believe me, I could sit and listen to that.
Well, I'll
stuff
tell you
all
a funny
long.
Story when we're done. You'll get a kick out of it.
Thanks again, and thanks, Carl, for everything. Wisdom on Relay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim, and we will see you again next week. But I do have a couple picks. My first picks for the weekend, Nostra Thomas. I'm telling you right now. And you can take these to the bank, and I'm going to keep track of these. Okay, so just so you know, I picked out a couple games to start my. You should. The Broncos minus 7.5, that's a cash cow. Okay, and I guarantee the Chargers are going to beat the Dolphins by more than 4.5. We'll see how we do. Have a great weekend. Thank you.